Thank you. We'll be in 1 Corinthians. It's right before 2 Corinthians. Funny stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse.
It's on.
1 and 2. Aiden, can you read that? Kind of sounds like maybe like, whoa, like I'm a little hot. Like, not this, yeah, never mind. It sounds like probably the worst sales pitch ever, right? Probably not a commercial you want to see at the Super Bowl. Sorry. You don't speak with your hand in front of your mouth, but my name's Paul. I don't really have anything interesting to say. I only know one story about this innocent man what dies. You know, just not really out there, right? Now, I don't think Paul was that bad. I don't think he was that bad. But he definitely wasn't flashy. You know, salvation is not a sales pitch. You know, Paul wasn't out there, come down to Crazy Paul's Emporium. If you act now in the next 15 minutes, you'll have no trouble for 6 months. Plus a bonus, if you want your dream job, you got it, right? He wasn't that guy. You know, just saying stuff to get you interested, to get you excited about coming in. He also wasn't that guy where he would ask questions like, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's around to hear it, will it make a noise? How would you know if you weren't there, if there was no witnesses, right? So it's, Cassius, right?
But when a tree falls and you're there, does it make a noise?
Yes.
So every tree falls and it'll make a noise.
But how do you know for sure?
But it hasn't loaded in yet.
Maybe it's you would make the noise because the tree fell.
No, it's in the
noise. Oh, I'm sure it makes a noise, but Paul wasn't that guy who was the all thinking, you know, philosophers. It's like the old adage, you know, if you live in a glass house, you shouldn't throw stones. But, so, I mean, he wasn't that guy who was trying to be all thinky, you know, the philosophers of the day, and it's like try to think of questions what can't be answered.
So he was just a normal guy.
He was just a normal guy, right? And he was confident in what he knew, and he was confident in Jesus. Right? He's not saying, oh, I didn't speak well, I wasn't saying anything smart. He's not saying that. He's just saying, yo, he was confident in Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, and that's what we need to be confident in, not in the way I presented it. Let's go on to verse 3. Braden, can you read that?
Trembling.
Is it kind of messed up that that gives me hope?
No.
No? Why? Why do you think?
Because he says he's with you, like in Yes, so why would that be messed up?
Well, here's Paul, right? We've all heard about Paul, right? Yeah, this guy's walked thousands of miles just so he could speak to one stranger about Jesus. You know, if it was just one stranger, that's what he went for. Thousands of miles. This guy's gotten beaten up half to death multiple times, chased out of towns, but he's never changed his view or his standing on how he felt about Jesus. this guy is weak. I don't think he sounds weak. This guy has fears. I don't see the fear there. This guy trembles. You know, but it sounds like Paul's not that comic book superhero. You know, he's not set up there. It sounds like he's a normal guy.
Just never gives up.
He never gives up, right? He has determination. He's like a normal guy like me. I'm weak. I have fears. I tremble. You know, we've all had those moments where we do, where we're not unsure about how we stand or what we're doing. But Brandon's right. He never gave up. He didn't stop. And then what can stop me from doing the things Paul did? You know, Paul did amazing things. Is there anything that could stop me from doing what Paul did?
No.
Actually, there's three things that could stop me. Me, myself, and I.
And God.
Well, if we're doing God's work, God's not going to stop us, right? But if I'm going against God, yeah, obviously he'd pop. he'd wipe me out. But I can stop me, right? But nothing else. If we're working to glorify God, nothing can stop us.
I think that's why Paul never stopped.
Right? Because he's doing things for God.
He knew what was right. That's why he did it. He never stopped.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Exactly right. Exactly. 2 Timothy. I'm turn to 2 Timothy. It's right before, get my joke? 1 Timothy. Or, I'm sorry, it's right after. Sorry. Michelle. That's why Michelle married me, is for my jokes. Just a little. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Justin? Justice? Sorry, Justin. Right, so he's given a spirit of power, right? For those who, how many of us have ever felt like a little shy moments in their life, right? They didn't know. Like where you felt like, man, I should speak up, I should do things. But God did not. Huh? Oh, it's a lovely thing. But is it a thing we have to stay in?
No.
No. Because God did not give us a spirit of fear. He didn't. You know, if we stifle God's spirit, we feed man's spirit. We feed fear. We need to allow God's spirit to grow. Now, sometimes it'll take baby steps to get there, but God's there with us, right? We don't have to fear in those moments. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 through 5, TJ? Why not? You know, when we're talking about Jesus, when we're sharing something about Jesus with somebody, our faith shouldn't be on man's understanding. Do you understand that? Is that there's man's understanding and then there's God's. We can't be in man's understanding. You know, we need to rest in the power of God. We need to have our faith in the power of God because he's the one what's going to make things happen. You know, we can't, you know, that's what Paul's whole point is on the very beginning of this chapter is that he's just focusing or he's He's making sure nothing can be said, oh, it was man that did this. No, it was God. He wants everybody to know that it was God that did this. And then verses 6 through 7. Cassia? Okay, so what is that saying to you guys? No?
Give me a second.
However we speak of wisdom. So who? Yeah, you're taking too long. There's a long pause here. And if people are listening, oh, Brayden, I didn't even see your hand. You're a big guy with this little tiny hand hanging up. And
No. I just think it's like that the age that you are, like, say I'm 15, doesn't mean I can't have the wisdom of a 25-year-old. It's the things that you go through and the knowledge you acquire.
Oh, I like it.
That's what I was going to say.
No, that's awesome because that brings a good point as far as some things, you know, some people will get something out of this and then some people will get a different thing. Not saying one's better than the other, but they'll get different things. Right. No, I like your interpretation. That is really good. I mean, the mature, he's really talking. And it could be about that mature. Its maturity is, you know, your walk with God. You know, and it doesn't really matter if you're 15 or if you're 25. Yeah. It's your walk with God and where you are in your walk with God.
Yeah, that's why I got the, like, wisdom. That's
right. Right, exactly. And it's also talking about two different kinds of wisdom. The wisdom of the age would be man's wisdom or earthly, worldly vision, which doesn't necessarily co-align or is the exact same as God's wisdom, right? You know, there's certain truths or truths both ways, but there's definitely God's wisdom and then man's wisdom. But there's a choice. There's a choice out there in which way you will follow. And we need to make that, or we will make that. It's not a choice to make that choice. There is two choices out there, and we either do one or we do the other. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Aiden, can you read that? All right, this goes along with, you know, the rulers. If you're going to pick a worldly wisdom, if that's what your focus is, you know, it might appear that somebody that is rich, maybe somebody that has a lot of influence on a lot of people, like they're doing really good. You know, they've got it all, everything's going their way. However, it's a short time here on earth. You know, and we could be, or you could be buried with all the money you've ever made, but you're not going to be able to spend that money if you're dead, right? It just don't sit there, or somebody's don't dig it up and steal it.
They can have my 10 cents.
You need to get a new job if you've only made 10 cents. Oh, or a new allowance. it's depending. Do we want to have treasures in heaven, or do we want to have treasures here on earth?
If I pick,
is that a rhetorical question?
It's a rhetorical question. Well, I mean, it's nice to have things, right? But in the long run, these things are temporary here on earth. It's temporary. It's just material things. You know, they talk about the moths. So moths, I've never had that problem here in Arizona. But, you know, people, they get moths go in their closets and they put holes in their clothes. Anybody ever hear of that? No? Really? That's what actually happens. That's what he's talking about, moths. So moths will actually eat clothing. That, you know, so clothing will be destroyed. Rust, what does rust do?
Destroys your truck.
Right. It does destroy your truck. I mean, TJ, they probably will find out about rust with tools underneath water.
Yeah.
And then a rusty tool is, you can't really sell it as brand new, right?
Slap some Pepsi on it, you'll be good to go.
Be fine. It'll still work.
Tetanus.
See, it also does other bad things. Eat tetanus for lunch. All right, so we have that choice. We have lots of choices here, right? We could choose, you know, what's going to be more important to us. Is it something later on will last forever, or something that's temporary? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Brayden?
Which none of the rules of this age now?
New.
For had they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes has not seen, not hear ahead, not have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
All right, so it's kind of a no-brainer. If the rulers back in the day of Jesus knew who he was, do you think they still would have went through crucifying him?
Yes.
That's interesting. Do you think they really would? I mean, he had to get, you know, there's a whole, he had to get crucified to save us and everything, but would you be able to crucify him, the Lord, if you knew who he was? I mean, that's an interesting perspective.
But also, if they like knew him and knew what he was able to do, would they have tried to kill him?
There's a debate, because were they going completely against God? Like, they were just like, I don't care about God, I'm going against you.
No, they just didn't think.
But I think
their God, they thought there was like multiple, right, and that their God was better. Like, just
they also think he was a fraud?
Right. I think they just wanted to prove him wrong, and they weren't happy. They might have known back in their head. I don't know. It's so hard. But if they truly knew Jesus, I don't think they would have done it.
If they knew him, or if they knew what we knew today, it would be different. If they knew what we knew today, I don't think they would. But if they just knew him, they might have.
Well, yeah. Then there's a difference between knew. You know, I mean, they knew Jesus. Hey, that's Jesus, right?
Yeah.
They knew him, but they didn't know him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't.
There's still people today, even with all the information, they still would crucify him.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, even knowing it, people still want
him. But I'm asking if they knew he was God. If they knew, if they believed with all their heart he was God, would they crucify him?
No,
right, so if they were believers, if they were Christians.
That's what
I was getting at. Is if they were Christians, would they go, hey, I believe in you, but I'm going to kill you? No, they wouldn't do that. Huh? I should have said that. Then we got this whole debate. But I don't mind that debate. That was fun. Okay, so, of course not. Of course not. They would have crucified him. But the reason they didn't know, or they weren't Christians, or they didn't believe, is why?
There's a couple of reasons.
Well, what does this verse say? Why? It tells us why they didn't.
They didn't listen.
They didn't
have like an open
heart. And they didn't see. They didn't see the things around them, and they didn't listen.
Arrogance of man. That's just the
short version. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It both works. Right. But today, people still don't see, and they still don't listen. Right? And we can't go all savage towards the people that don't do that.
Is that in terms of the way
more? It can, right? It can. You know, we can't turn to evil for people that don't understand. We can't go around being mad at people because they don't believe. This is a fact, you know, but it doesn't give us excuse not to help them, though, right? You know, I mean, we can't go evil. We can get frustrated, and we will get frustrated. But what can we do?
Not stop. Like, not get turned away from them.
Right. So if we're not stopping, but what do we do? Have patience, trust in the Lord, yeah.
Be as kind as possible.
Be as kind as possible.
Yeah, they need to turn away. And I feel like after a certain amount of time, you can look and be like, oh, I'm talking to him in that way didn't work. Let's go a different approach as it, like, and see, like, how we reach, like, try, like seeing what they're into and relating it to that. Say he's a really big football player, try relating it with football, like,
terms.
Me, I always put my favorite Bible verse on this arm and stuff, and then I have people after the game ask me what that means, and then that starts
a conversation. Oh, no, that is awesome. You've touched a lot of points I'm going to be talking about, but there's also something else we didn't mention, what we could do when people do not want to see and do not want to hear us.
Is that like a question?
Yeah, that's a question.
Holler at people when they don't want to.
Holler at people.
Hint.
I'm giving a hint.
Pray.
Right. No, but what you said was awesome, and I really appreciate that, and it was. It's point right on the point, but we can also pray, you know, and I was going to pray that they see, pray that they could hear, pray that you have a translator. Is Gary losing it? Yeah, that's probably another question, but a translator. What is a translator?
It depends on what aspect.
They do the same thing. They can't use translation the same.
They can't use.
It makes it so you understand it in your way.
They take your words and put it into words that they would understand.
Yes, exactly. So a translator, for basic sense, if I was speaking in Germany. I'd have this translator, because I don't speak German. He'd speak German, and everything I say, he translates it and says it in German, right? As a translator. For those who do not believe, the Bible is written in an unknown, a foreign language. Well, yeah, technically, yes. The New Testament was Koine Greek a long time ago. That was the first language it was written in, and then it was translated down the line so we get to English, right? And then before that is Hebrew and all kinds of stuff. So some people, have you ever had that? It's like if they don't know how to speak a language, they just get louder. Where is the bathroom? You know, it doesn't.
And they like slow down the words.
Yeah. Or try to enunciate it a little better.
That's not how it works.
It isn't how it works, but people do that.
Now, that's really annoying.
It can be really annoying. But it's not our, well, we need to be heard,
yes.
Right? So there, we do need to be heard, but yelling doesn't make what you say right are understandable.
I hate
yelling. No, most people do. If somebody's yelling, it's kind of like a reaction. We're all built in a little reaction. It's like, no, I'm going to yell back, right? And it's like the defense. It can, and unfortunately today there's a lot of yelling going on, right? There's a lot of yelling going on. Now, my dad was hard of hearing, and so am I. I'm getting more and more, the older I get, the harder hearing happens, right? And when I was younger, I could go into things as far as I wasn't very kind to my ears. And there's things you could do to protect them. But as for my dad's, I had a newfound sympathy when I became hard of hearing, because I understand what he was going through. For hard of hearing, most of the time, there's a decibel that you can't hear. It's not that you can't hear at all, is that there's this certain decibel.
Or like pitch.
Yeah, a certain pitch. It's kind of like the wife pitch is the hardest pitch to ever hear. The wife pitch. But it is. Now, I mean, it has a little bit to do with volume. So like I said, there's, you know, we need to speak up, but we don't need to yell. It's not about yelling. And we
like enunciating it properly.
Exactly. And enunciating is a big deal. You can't slur your words or mumble. That makes it hard for people to understand. And it's frustrating to repeat yourself. I know this. For somebody who has hard of hearing, I know on the other end where it's frustrating repeating yourself. If I ask you, oh, I forgot your name, or I didn't hear your name, if I keep on asking, it's not that, maybe it's just because I can't hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that I'm not paying attention to you, and it's not important to me. But it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating on the other end. So a lot of people would be like, after the third time, it's like, I'm not going to force you to repeat it. So I'm just going to smile and say, hey. But on the other end, it's also frustrating not to understand. It's frustrating for people to keep saying something and not understand it. So we need to understand that people out there what don't understand, it's frustrating to them too. It's frustrating both ways. And the Holy Spirit is a great translator. If we allow him. If we allow him, he will be a great translator. You know, I cannot. There's countless times I've been somewhere and I needed an encouraging word. I just, for some reason, I was a little down this way or that way. And all of a sudden, it comes from somebody I barely knew. It's like, why are you even talking to me? No, it wasn't like that. But, you know, and sometimes it could be something silly. Just something what's silly, but it triggers something in us that we relate to, that we identify with. It's like, okay, I get it now. That makes sense. Yeah, a blue fox runs across. Okay, now I get it, right? Just something random. You know, something nobody else will know, but the Holy Spirit knows everything.
Where have you seen a blue
Squirrel. What? No, it's just something random. I'm just trying to, that was just a weird example. It came to my mind. But, I mean, there's silly things just like, oh, you know, like if you saw Al last night and then somebody like Tony O was over there and preaching and was talking about Al, it'd be like, oh, God's talking to me. And it happens like that sometimes. It's just sometimes it's random and it seems weird, but it triggers something in us and it just hits us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Oh my gosh. That's a lot. It looks like a lot. Any volunteers? Cassia, I'll let you read that one. So like I said, there's different wisdoms out there. And there's spirituals. And if we wanted to know about man, well, only man's spirits don't know about himself, right? But there's that, where it's worldly vision, is everybody's right in their own mind. Are we got God's wisdom? Where we will gain more understanding. And it says that we can know about God. We can understand about God more the more we let the Holy Spirit guide us. In verse 13 through 14, Justice. So, again, and Paul likes to go over things again and again. So he's talking about wisdom and man's wisdom and spiritual wisdom is knowing this, and it's the understanding. Now, my first Bible was a New King James Version. So that's mainly how I read. I still have, you know, Bible, New King James. So I'll mostly read that. But sometimes other translations... Right? Translations hit home harder for me than others. So there's different translations, and other translations are just fine. It's just a different way they took the words, right? So we're going to read in Proverbs chapter 4, 6 through 7. And this is international, the New International Version. TJ's gone. Aiden, can you read that? Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: give wisdom, though it costs all you have, yet. I like this one, and it's really close to the New King James if you check it out, but wisdom is very important, right? But if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. That's what I get from this, is that knowing about Jesus is kind of like our debate about the rulers of the age. You know, they knew Jesus, but they didn't understand who he was. They didn't believe in who he was. You know, there's a big difference of knowing somebody or knowing something but actually believing that it's true. Having that understanding to that wisdom. So I'm going to leave you with this, is seek wisdom, but pray for understanding. Pray for those in the world that have blinders, that they may fade away. Pray for those deafening spirits that they may be lifted so they can hear. And pray that we find a voice, that we all can find a voice that is clear and calm so others around us can understand us. You know, a voice from God. Justice, do you want to close this in prayer?